is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hosho Tara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hosho Tara back to News for the Soul.
Hi everybody, my name is El Hosho Tara. Welcome to News for the Soul. I'm your host for this hour. You can find us at newsforthesoul.com and you can send in your questions there. You can also call in to 1-646-595-4274. That's 1-646-595-4274. So we're going to talk today a little bit about boundaries. Woo! Again, because I know y'all have problems with them sometimes, because man, sometimes they're, well, it depends on where everybody is, right? Sometimes, I mean, they're like, trying to put in a boundary. And then sometimes it's really easy, especially if you don't like the person. Not that we do that. But, you know, it's interesting sometimes, you know, because then guilt comes in. It's like, oh, you know, we should say no, or we shouldn't say no. And then there's how much of a big deal is this going to be if we say no? And there's all those other sorts of things. And of course, it all depends on, you know, where somebody is in terms of the levels, how advanced they are in their self-development, how advanced they actually are versus how advanced they think they are, you know, and how codependent they are, for example. And all those things start to come into play. So when we're looking at it, and it's really important to remember that a lot of the things that cause problems, it depends on the filter that people use it through. So if you have somebody who's very, very codependent, and everybody's got some, but if they're really codependent in that area of life, like really codependent, then it becomes like that's when you start getting in trouble, and it's a really, really big deal to say no over very, very minor stuff, such as like having a difference of opinion on a food. You know, you like spicy food, you don't like spicy food, you need a little spice in everything, spice, never, or oranges or mandarins versus Florida oranges, you know, the ones with the thicker rinds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so the more that sort of people feel thrown by life, they tend to get a little bit upset sometimes over things that really, you know, they should be able to deal with but can't. And when I say can't, I mean can't currently. And can't is in actually can't, not when people say they can't, but they just don't want to, or they're using it to play games, you know, guilt trip, manipulate, be toxic, sabotaging, et cetera. I mean, there are certain places that people actually just currently can't. And that can have to do with the nervous system. When people have issues with the nervous system, they can get really stubborn, like hardcore stubborn. You know, and it's really interesting. I can't even tell you how it works. I just know that it exists. And I've seen people get that released with trauma therapy through the visceral manipulations and all the other different manipulations that are along those lines. I've seen people get that taken down, which is infinitely helpful. You know, why do people get stubborn? Because they feel like it, because they think it's funny, because they're bent on being toxic sometimes. And other times it's an issue of self-preservation. So when people are in those situations, you know, sometimes people have been thrown, you know, by life so much that they just kind of say no to everything and they just kind of hunker down, because it's the only way they know how to preserve any sense of self. And sometimes, not to that degree, unless somebody's in an extraordinarily chaotic environment, outside of an extraordinarily chaotic environment, though, that doesn't tend to be very helpful. It can be if somebody, for example, is going through a lot of abuse and the abusive person, what happens when there's a lot of chaos, when there's a lot of abuse, et cetera, mental health issues can sometimes go this way as well. People start sort of like making demands, and the demands start to contradict each other, and they want it all done in the same moment. And you're always getting yelled at no matter what you do. And when I say no matter what you do, I mean actually no matter what you do, even if you give them what they want, they're still yelling because you haven't done it exactly right. And then even if you do it exactly right, it becomes too threatening for them to admit that you've done something right. So then they yell at you and make something else up about how it's wrong. People in those situations, especially when people have been raised by parents with those behavioral patterns, people can really hunker down and just be like, it's black and it's white, just to be able to make sense out of the chaos. And it's one way that people sort of help to retain their own sanity. So those sorts of things aren't always, wrong or bad to do. The problem is, though, is that, well, sometimes even people who haven't been raised in that, maybe you're talking to somebody who has been raised in that environment or is a parent in that equation. And sometimes you just need to hunker down anyways, just for your, not because your sanity is going to go, gone from having a 5-minute conversation with them. If you have enough sense of internal self there, but you'll still hunker down just because it tends to be very uncomfortable, or you're not going to be able to make sense out of it anyways, because it's not really something you can make sense out of unless you know the pattern behind what they're doing. And then you can understand that they're doing the pattern. You can understand that it makes sense that they're doing the pattern, but it's not going to necessarily make sense that you're going to follow along with it and get yelled at because you're supposed to like strawberries. No, they changed it to blueberries. No, they changed it to blackberries. No, fuck you, it's potatoes, and it doesn't really make sense for you to stand there while somebody's just like letting things fly and they're yelling at you and being abusive no matter what. So when we're looking at boundaries, though, there's kind of this idea, and we've gone over this in the past, kind of idea that you're not allowed to say no and it's bad. And when is it bad? It's bad when, and when I say bad, I mean bad in air quotes. Bum, bum, bum. It's bad when, or seems to be bad, when people don't understand what it is that they're capable of doing, don't understand what their responsibilities are, and may either not actually have the skill set or capacity to fill their own needs, and that can get mixed up with the desire to not fill their own needs, the desire to have everybody else do their work for them. It can also be mixed in with people get scared of putting themselves out there because they get scared of attack. That can also be mixed up with people just are playing a lot of games because they're looking to just vent and take their anger out on other people. So it's not, we kind of see in these, some of these modalities that deal with trauma, that sometimes it can appear as if people are saying you're always supposed to give in to somebody who's got trauma. Now, if you see that, reasons that that can be put out there in a healthy format are they're just simply speaking to the person that they're trying to get in as a client who may have low capacity and may have low capabilities, and they may be speaking to that person to let them know that they got it, but it does not mean that you're supposed to give into that stuff overall. And sometimes it comes across like that, but it's not necessarily, it's not true that you're supposed to give into it no matter what. In fact, the reason why some people have problems to such a large degree is because when they do all that stuff, they expect that everybody should accommodate them. And that makes their life harder. It also makes it very, very hard for everybody else around them. And there's a lot more cleanup that can be done, provided people are just willing to. It's not always just simply, something bad happened to them, even though it makes it sound like that sometimes. Now, some people will put that out there and make it seem like that, but that's codependency. And again, you have to watch out for codependency in self-development and stuff like that, either because somebody's got a codependent mind and they're writing the article, they've got the codependent mind when they're interpreting different ideas and avenues, and codependency is what causes the pain. I really want to be clear about that. Codependency is extraordinarily painful, and trying to drag other people into codependency does not solve their problems, even though they think that they do. It may a little bit, in some areas, provide a little bit of relief, but not as much as people would think, and you have to be very careful because there can also be a lot of fallback from it. In fact, when you look at the people who are, quote-unquote, your worst nightmares, and those of you that want to be coaches, especially in talking to you, when you have people who are going to be the nightmare client, for example, you may actually be dealing with a large amount of codependency. You could also be dealing with a large amount of trauma, and sometimes trauma and codependency can go hand in hand. Because, you know, codependency demands you, you know, you be traumatized with the person. For example, you know, some people, they're at a complete and total loss why they keep getting in bad situations. But it's part of the codependent mindset where people are very codependent in terms of behaviors. For example, thinking processes, people can start, it's one common pattern that people start to say, I'm a good person for being in an abusive relationship. Look how strong I am for not walking away from a bad situation. And then they say it's because they have love in their heart, and then they start to take pride in it. So, and it's a common phenomenon that when people do not know how to make life work properly, they start to take pride in rejecting healthy serving behaviors. You see this with food. You see people who eat a lot of junk food, and they're not like those snobs who eat lettuce, you know. And then whenever somebody eats healthy in front of them, they start mocking them or whatever when it gets really severe. So, you know, all these sorts of things just make it where people really get ingrained that, you know, it's good to be bad, or, you know, that one happens where people do a lot of bad behaviors. They're like, oh, I'm a bad guy, you know, and ha-ha. And they think it's awesome, and they think that's where the power is, because when they try to do something positive, if they do not, if they were, for example, not raised in an environment where positive action was used, where healthy behavior, healthy serving behavior was used and actually worked, you can have people who end up, when they go to do something positive, it kind of feels like it doesn't really go anywhere. And it doesn't go anywhere either because the environment can't handle it, or it doesn't go anywhere because they don't actually get a positive feeling out of it. And so if people are used to feeling more powerful in chaos, or feeling more powerful when they play the victim, or being in an abusive role, or yelling, or manipulating, or whatever, when somebody's very severely in that, they could feel more powerful when doing that. And then when they go to do something like be nice, it just falls flat and there's like no gas in the engine, so to speak. I really want to be clear that can actually be resolved, but number one, it takes practice. Number two, it is infinitely helpful to have it work in a healthy environment. And a lot of unhealthy environments that will not necessarily work. It depends on who you're dealing with, you know, what level they're at, current space that they're in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when we are, you know, in this idea of not saying no to unhealthy, unserving behavioral patterns, you know, everything that I've just talked about, a lot of that stuff comes about because people are not allowed to say no or have not been able to say no in the past. And there's a lot of contributing reasons as to why people suffer so much and there's pain and suffering, but I want to be clear that a lot of it can get resolved to a much higher degree than people think is possible. When things don't, it's because people don't tend to want to cooperate with it, and it's not always going to be a direct route. For example, for everything that I'm talking about, that would be somebody to go see a somatic therapist about. And with that, there also may need to be a combination of doing those visceral manipulations, because that can also help the that can also help with the nervous system, which really can affect a lot more than people think. And so things can get really, really hard. In fact, for anybody who's been stuck for 10 or 20 years and, you know, they're still in extraordinarily large amounts of pain, but they've been doing tons of self-development work, it is really, really, really worth it to go check out self, or to go check out a therapist who deals with somatics, etc. And so I really want to be clear that these patterns, I'm telling you about them because I want you to understand that there's help for them, whether it's anybody going through that themselves or whether, you know, they're dealing with family members who are going through that as well, there are a lot more answers out there than you think that there are. For coaching, you know, when people are sort of like that much into it, I would recommend the somatic stuff over coaching initially, unless you're dealing with a trauma coach, or you can work with them in tandem, those sorts of things. I tend to work with people who are more resolved than that, just because I know some of what can happen, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I prefer people to go work with somatic therapists if they're at the levels that I'm just talking about. And outside of that, you know, and even inside of that, let's look at, again, the original premise of this show, which is about saying no. And people get into these ideas, you know, especially when there's a lot of codependency, that you're never allowed to say no. But no is sometimes one of the healthiest things that you can do. In fact, you know, we hear all these things about, like, oh, you know, my teacher talks about love and my guru talks about love and these sorts of things, and they do, but it doesn't mean that they say no. In fact, one of the most well-known, you know, deepest gurus, very, very, you know, both planes, a guru, an actual guru, means actually fully awakened. one of his favorite, well, I can't say favorite, but one of his most used words was actually the word no, or it was jow, which is like, get lost, scram, which is how it was translated to me. So I'm just saying it there, not to be rude or not to suggest that you be rude to other people, just saying that's what the interpretation was. So when we're looking at this, because, you know, there's a difference between, number one, which plane that you're working on. And, you know, it was like there's this illusion on this plane. And now I found out that actually a lot of people consider this plane to be real. Ram Dass actually talks about that, that this plane is actually real. And, you know, I didn't know that before. I heard that, you know, this, you know, everything's an illusion. And I was like, okay, it didn't quite sit with me. I've said it before, but it didn't quite sit with me. And so I'm changing what I'm saying, because it makes a lot more sense to me that this plane is real. But there is still an illusion with it. In terms of that, what people are going through isn't necessarily what they have to go through, which can be a little bit strange, but they're going through it because they think that's the way it is. And there can be an illusion about that when people don't understand the contribution of their own behaviors to certain problems. So a lot of people, in essence, basically say no. And part of the reason that you say no is because, plain, you are here to have an individual experience. If you are fully realized and fully awakened, which a lot of people hear that and they go, I don't know what it is, but I like it, therefore I am it. And they're not there yet. I'm not there yet, just to be clear about that. You know, it takes a lot of lifetime to be there. And so it's not a shame thing. It's kind of like it's like being 5 years old and a fully awakened is 100 years old or 1,000 years old. You know, there's no shame in that. It's just, you know, it is what it is. But on this plane, you're here to do certain practices, and saying no or getting a no is just about, in a healthy serving format, it's like, that doesn't work here. There's going to be too much chaos. There's going to be too much drama, too much abuse, too much sabotage. And saying no is really just about setting people on a different path so they can find something that's actually going to work for them, that's going to work for you as well. And we'll do that. So no is just the beautiful part of allowing people to get to where they need to go. And it really does not cause harm in a lot of different ways. I really want to be clear about that, because sometimes people think no is always a bad thing. But no is just not here. That's all that it is. Yes feels better if it's something that you want, but no does not mean that it causes harm. When can the word no cause harm? Hey, there's a tornado coming. Can I come into your house? No. Click, you know, there goes the front door shut. Yeah, we could call that harm. On this plane, we would consider that harm. But for a lot of other things, you're not causing harm by saying no to people. And in fact, if there's a mass murderer who, you know, tends to be armed to the, you know, whatever, and they want in, and you know people are going to die as a result of their hands, you know, would you be causing harm to the person who's trying to get in? Yes, but a lot more harm would be caused by letting them get in. So there are times where even if people have to suffer the consequences of their own karmic actions, you know, it's not you doing it to them, it's them doing what they're doing that's really causing them the harm. And so even though things can go, you know, really, really horrible, and I do not, this is not an permission or advocation or whatever, if somebody's in that situation, because I know some places in the U.S. have a lot of tornadoes, and this is, you know, not like, hey, you've got permission to go out and hurt people or say no or whatever. I'm not saying that by any means. I think you should let people in for tornadoes, just to be clear. But whatever the law is, and I can't make decisions for people when their life is at risk for somebody, you know, who's going to kill everybody, for example, if they come into the shelter. I'm not making that call for people, and it's whatever the law is in your area. I kind of have to tell you to do that, and I am telling you to do that, to follow the law. You know, just because those are whatever your local laws are. But, you know, short of that, I mean, that's a pretty extreme and very rare circumstance, an extraordinarily rare circumstance. Short of that, you're not really telling people no isn't hurting them a lot of the time, and they may not like the consequences. They may get hurt in some of the consequences, but some of those times you're still going to have to do them because of what they've done already. That's going to be their own karmic blowback on them, such as, you know, maybe you're saying no because you don't want to let somebody very dangerous in your house, and if they come into your house, you know, there's going to be, you know, the possibility of murders happening, for example. You know, sometimes you need to call the police, and, you know, they may be in trouble from whoever for calling the police on them. But, you know, that's one of the consequences of dealing with very dangerous people, for example. So, you know, and again, whatever the laws on your area, if your law says you have to offer them shelter, whatever, I have to tell you to do that. I'm not saying I morally agree with it. I'm just saying that I have to tell you that. So I am telling you that in terms of the law. But I am also saying if there was a law that you are supposed to put yourself in danger because somebody else is pulling a bunch of bonehead choices, I don't agree with it. But I still have to tell you to do it just based on what the laws are. But short of that, you know, there's a lot of things where if we say no sooner and soon enough, we also don't end up in those situations in the first place, you know. And that is something else to consider. Sometimes, you know, the advanced practitioner, the reason they say no sooner is sometimes it can seem like a little bit soon to people who don't understand that. The reason that they say no sooner is because they understand of what the fallout of the pattern is likely to be, and they're making a very good judgment call. Now, some people are going to take that and use it to say no just to be a jerk. I can't stop that, you know, quite frankly, neither can you. But just because other people are going to do that, you want to hold yourself to a higher choice of action, more beneficial choice of action. And you do say no because of fallout. You do say no sooner because you do understand the ramifications. You do understand, in some cases, it's because it's your duty to your family to say no to somebody who's going to be a threat to your family or bringing around threats to your family. You're going to say no because it's going to be a threat to the workplace. It's going to create too much drama, too much chaos. There's going to be a whole lot of harm from bringing in somebody who's very toxic or abusive or sabotaging. So if you have a relative, for example, who's bugging you to give them a job, and you're watching your whole life go down the or what feels like your whole life go down the drain because somebody's going to wreck everything, do you have to bring them in? No, absolutely not. Are you harming them by refusing to bring them in? No. In fact, you're protecting everybody else from going through whatever that person is going to be doing to them or to the community. And practitioners, advanced practitioners, understand that. So there are different levels that people have to have gained to get into certain things. Now, some people don't like that because they want access to everything, even if, quite frankly, they would not get much use out of it, even if they would be facing rejection with it. If we think of it as math class, most kindergartners don't really need to be in, you know, advanced physics, for example. I don't know how old, you know, Einstein would have been, you know, before he started being able to do advanced math. But most people aren't Einstein, you know, and whether Einstein at 5 years old needed to do that, I doubt it. But, you know, hey, you never know, right? There might be somebody. You never know. So, you know, we'll put that out there as like the absolute. There is a possibility, but generally speaking, that's just not going to be needed. And we understand this in school. We understand this in a lot of different things. But when emotions start to get played out, when we're talking about human behavior, we kind of tend to miss the mark on that, but it's also the exact same thing. There are certain people that are just not going to be beneficial for you to be involved with, and that's fine. It's their karma, and your karma sometimes is not to be involved with them, and that's fine. And it's not causing people harm to say no. It's just simply, no, not here. And sometimes, you know, if we see people in pain and we see something that's going to be more beneficial to them, if it's something that they're interested in, you know, then we can support that either by saying, you go, girl, or we drive them to the job interview, or we go into the workplace to check it out with them. Whatever it is, there's a lot of different ways that we can actually help people at a level that they're actually going to be doing without judging them or trying to shove them into a small little box because that's the level that person's at. Ho-ho. You know, we're going to stay away from doing all that stuff because that's got a lot of gross icky energy. But it doesn't mean, you know, so we can look at what the person's going to be capable of doing, you know, what a stretch is for them, because for some people, what is a very tiny stretch for you is infinitely large for them. Some people grow faster than others. It depends on how much experience you've had in one area versus how much experience they've had in an area, as an example as well. And so it is really important to understand that the word no can actually be and is needed as a very loving part of a beautiful, healthy, serving community where you actually love people, where you actually care for people, and it is still a good thing for you to say no, okay? And I really want everybody to understand that. If you have questions about that, write me. Just be like, L, you know, write me here on newsforthesoul.com, and we will put it on the air and talk about that because I think it's really important to understand, especially right now. So we do have open lines, and we have area code 415-415. Again, you can go to our website. That's newsforthesoul.com. to find our phone number. If this goes too fast for you, our phone number is 1-646-595-4274. And we have 415-415. You are on the air with El Hoshi Amtara.
Hi, thank you. My name is Anne, calling from New Mexico.
Hi, Anne. How you doing?
Pretty good. I feel that I'm picking up some health issues that my roommate has. And so anything about or is being too empathic about how to kind of block that out, and or is I have a lot of these kind of sharp pains in my abdomen, and or maybe it's something completely different, like my chakras.
Okay. So first off, yes, it is absolutely possible to catch things from people energetically. You can catch colds from people energetically. It's the darndest thing. Who knew that could happen? But I have seen it. It does happen. So you can do that. And some of us have boundaries that we tend to have a harder time holding them than some other people do. And I have seen people have success with that, with visceral manipulations. I forget what part of the body it is. I think it's the one that's on, this is going to sound really scientific. There is one part on the, maybe the bottom of the rib cage, somewhere in there on the right side, where people do get overly influenced by other people. And I have seen visceral manipulations help people to work on that. There are other, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there are other people that have talked about people having energetic boundaries. They're a little bit weaker on them. And I have people seen them have them stronger with getting the visceral manipulations done. I don't know if that's the whole shebang or not, but for you, it would definitely be worth something checking out, because I can definitely see your boundaries being very, very easily invaded. Like very easily. So this is, so you are one of the people that until you figure it out and know how to resolve it, you do need to be careful about who you're around, because, yep, yeah, you will get energetically infected. Zero question about that. So in terms of the abdomen, I would actually suggest going to see a doctor. I'm not a huge conventional doctor fan, just because I find people get a lot better results with other things. But it does look like a doctor issue. I'm not a medical intuitive, so I can't tell you that. When I look at your chakras, there does seem to be a little bit wavering of wavering there, just above, I forget what
the solar plexus or the...
I don't do chakras very much. I can see them, but I don't remember what they're called. But just like basically around the top of your pubis, I can see sort of energy going from there downward, and it feels like you've got an energetic blockage in there. And it's kind of trying to get up, and it's trying to kind of move, but it's really stuck. And when I'm getting it moving, you know, to do a little bit of shaking or whatever, you start to get a little bit nauseated. It is causing you some physical pain, but that's not the same thing as like the pain on your side. It's it seems kind of like they may be a little bit connected, but it's like more you're having the sharp pain on the side, but then you're getting a little bit of nauseous from where it's stuck in the energy is not moving through, or your chakra is blocked.
Yeah, the right underneath the right rib cage is the gallbladder. So I have had acupuncture done for that pain. So that, yeah, I know that works.
Okay. Yeah, that works. And also visceral manipulation works as well. I know people have a
I don't understand what manipulation?
Visceral?
Visceral, oh, okay.
And that can work as well to get the bile flowing. It can work, too, if you're eating a lot of fatty foods and you start to really feel that and you get the pains. If you're massaging it from the outside towards in towards your belly and you're doing that and then you're tracing it downwards, that can also help to get things flowing. If you've eaten a meal that's too rich, that can help with getting the bile flowing. So if it's starting to kick up, that is one of the practices that you can do to help it get it working a little bit better. But the visceral manipulation can also help, because people can have a lot of issues with the gallbladder issues. You sound like knowledgeable about that, so you know that can make things a lot harder in interacting with other people. People get on your nerves, that sort of thing. You get affected by people more when you're having those gallbladder issues.
Interesting. All right. Can I ask a different question, or do you have other? Do you go to another caller?
No, you can ask another question.
Great. Not health related at all, but I just about June, things coming up for me in June, and work-wise, I'm kind of looking more just for like a fun job. I don't really. Maybe like a summer job, and I mean, if something comes up permanent, that's great. But I've done so many stressful jobs. I really want a job with nice people and fun activities.
Yes,
is my intention.
Yeah, absolutely, and yeah, I can totally see that. It would be good for you to have a break on that. What they're showing is that you need to get the health stuff going first, because otherwise, that's going to keep pulling you back. And that's going to make it a lot harder in order to do things. After you get the health stuff resolved, then things look a lot clearer. You do still need to work on who you're picking to hang out with, because it's like, look, there's Anna. She's going off. Wow, great. This is wonderful. I like seeing the positive reads, because it's so nice to be able to give people good news. And then it's like, I see the people around you and it's like, oh boy, here we go. And there's like a lot of people that you're going to need to be staying away from again. And then it's like, then the body issues start acting up again. So they're really, really saying that you really need to work on, you know, who you're talking to, who you're dealing with. Again, the visceral manipulations help with a lot of things, you know, including being over influenced by other people and those sorts of things. Because one of the issues that I see people have. They're not showing me this, but when I see the other things happening with you, one of the things that I see as a pattern with people who I tend to see that with is they have a hard time not picking people that are going to end up just being too hard for them to deal with. And they keep doing it over and over and over again. And they don't have enough of an understanding going in of how to pick somebody who's going to be more beneficial for them or not. And I keep seeing you end up with, and not just a few, I mean, a lot of people that if I was there with you in person, we'd be going, okay, Anne, you want to stay away from that one. You want to stay away from that one. You want to stay away from that one. Okay, and you want to stay away from that one. We want to stay away from that one. We want to stay away from that one. And, you know, it's like I can see that you're able to feel it, but it's kind of like trying to point out this is blue to somebody who's a little bit colorblind. It's kind of like not quite working, and to sort of get you out of your shell a little bit more, it seems like you're having a hard time with dealing with that, about the fact that there's people that aren't going to be beneficial for you to deal with.
All right. I think, well, hopefully I've learned that from the past and becoming more sensitive to that, but I think I definitely understand what you're saying, because a lot of times I'll know it and then I'll just endure it instead of like saying, all right, next, you know, move on to the next person. So
yeah, and for
I'm,
you because you internalize
it afterwards of knowing it.
Yeah, and you internalize things so much. For you, going into an environment with people that aren't healthy for you would be like somebody else living off Big Macs for 6 months. Like, it really takes a hard toll on your body. It is so bad for you. And you're one of the people that, unfortunately, you get hit with the health benefits, or with the health effects, a lot more than most people would. So you are really, your path currently is really about making sure of, like, you know, what's going to be nurturing for you, building up your capabilities in terms of, this is going to be good for you. This makes sense for you to be doing this. This is actually the responsible thing for you to do, is to actually take on something that is going to be beneficial for you, because that is part of your health care. That is part of your emotional health care. And when we do that, your energy really changes and you become, instead of like, you know, this sweet lady, but we can feel kind of like the shell. It's like there's Anne, and she's very vibrant. She's very loving. She's very warm, giving. She's pretty. She's like, oh, look at this energy. And it's like walking down the lake, you know, with like the best beach ever, or however it works with lakes. And, you know, it's like there's the sunshine and all these sorts of things. And it's like, you know, there's you versus suffering in a factory with a bunch of people that are basically giving you gallbladder issues or whatever's happening within your body.
Yeah, that's good. That's a better holistic way to think of it, of your choices and long-term effects. So I'll put that to the forefront.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Anne. Thanks
All right,
for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Aw, I love being able to do good news. Yay. So we have, let's see here, she's got the lovelies, Wendy in Arizona. So she wants to know if I see her relocating anytime soon. So one moment here, Wendy in Arizona. Okay, one moment. Hold on here. So, Wendy, there is something that you are very, very dug into that you need to get resolved, and that is basically so dug in that I can't, even in 2 years from now, I'm having a very, very hard time getting you sort of like extracted out of it to see like, hey, you know, how is this going to go for Wendy? And I see that you're able to get more movement in a couple of years, but it's still kind of like it'd be like walking through somebody decided to pour tar into some large container and it's 2 feet deep and, you know, it's starting to become a lot more solid, but it's a safety boot. So you're like, you're okay, but it's like, you're stuck. And, you know, in 2 years, it's like, okay, she's, you know, a little bit closer to the edge, but you know, it's like the foot's still caught and it's a safety boot and you can't pull your leg out of it. And it's really, I mean, we're talking about really hardcore, like you're not budging. Hold on here. Hold on here. And it has to do with your feelings. So it's having to, let's see here. See, here's the thing. So if we get you able to actually get your foot loose, so to speak, it's like all of a sudden you're running clear and it's like, there you go down the street. And then you run into somebody and then it's like they're pulling you back into it. And it's like, and then they're just sticking you right back in the tar. So I'm seeing a guy do this too. It's like, okay, we finally got Wendy, be clear. And there seems to be a lot of things that keep bringing you back to it. So Ram Dass talks about that when we find ourselves in those situations, it means that there's something that we need to deal with still, that we need to clear up in order to be able to get free. And whatever you have to deal with is so locking that it is extraordinarily hard to get out of in the first place. To the point of, like, your foot, we can wiggle your knee and we can get you, like, sort of tugging against the boot, but it's like the boot is firmly stuck in the tar right off the bat. And then over a couple of course of years, I mean, we can get you to more of the edge of the little structure that's holding all the tar, but we can't get you out of it. And then when we finally can get you out of it after that, you run into some guy and it's like immediately you're getting, like, pushed right back into it, and not just, like, pushed right back into the tar, it's like pushed right back into the boot that's stuck in the tar. And then he's, you know, kind of like sitting there a little bit watching you struggle. And let's see here. And so if we look at 5 years from now, it's like, okay, Wendy's free, which is good. But then it's like, okay, here comes this guy and he just basically runs you over, knocks you to the ground. And then you're just stuck on the ground. So whatever you have to resolve in there seems to be the key for you being able to relocate. And let's see here. If we get that resolved, what does it look like? And here's the thing. If we get this resolved, it's like, okay, what does this look like for Wendy? So all of a sudden, Wendy's like grabbing the boot. She's got the safety boot on. She's hopping through the tar, hops herself out of the tar, shakes the safety boot, runs down the street, runs into the same guy, throws him aside, runs down the street more, throws him the next guy aside again, or it's the same guy coming back, and it may even be the recurring one. I can't quite get a good enough look to be able to tell. let's see here. Recurring circumstances, okay. So we keep getting these recurring circumstances, and then you have the capability, once you're willing to get it resolved, to just keep doing that and then go into the next phase of life, in which case, oh, there's that guy again, or another one that's very similar to him. And then we're going back into that and it's dragging you back down. And all of a sudden, I guess they're all different because now I see three guys and they're all dragging you back and sticking you back in the tar. So the effect of what you're having to deal with in Arizona, I would highly, highly, highly suggest that you start working on in order to be able to get free, because every time we get you free, regardless of, I mean, we're still talking about 5 years from now, you still keep getting dragged back into the safety boot and you still keep getting stuck back in the tar, and they always keep taking you back. They always keep overpowering you. Even after you got free the first two, and it's like all of a sudden they're standing guard now after 5 years, and the three of them are standing guard making sure that you don't get out. Now, here's the thing. They don't even look like bad guys. You know, they're not reading as, you know, so off energetically that it's, you know, horrible. They don't look like really, really bad people. But man, when you're stuck back in it, I mean, it is so hard on you. It is a very hard thing for you to go through. And it's almost like they're guarding you to make sure that you stay stuck in the tar. And they're not your guardians. I checked that. It's like, okay, is there something they want her to deal with? Are these, you know, spirit guardians, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, nope. It's just repeating circumstance, repeating circumstance, repeating circumstance. And they are suggesting that you want to get this solved as quickly as you can, because it is definitely going to be a lot more positive for you to be outside of that situation as soon as you possibly can, which is probably why you're feeling the need to move. The feeling the need to move, though, to get away from it is not going to solve it, is not going to fix the fact that you need to resolve the situation that's going on in Arizona. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes it can, sometimes moving does help. You know, sometimes people get really sort of degrading about that. Oh, you're still the same person no matter where you go. Is that true? Yeah. And when does moving work? Because where you're moving to meets more of your soul and you're ready to take that on, then can moving work? Absolutely. Can moving work when you're ready for it, or not even completely ready for it, but it's your next step in the new place? You can learn new patterns and you can grow there? Absolutely. But it's not always a guarantee. And if you're going through to pick the new place with the same mind, you have the unfortunate possibility that it will not be the place you actually need to be, because you're picking the new place from the same old mind. So it'd be like picking a new boyfriend with the same old mind. You can do the same thing with a new area to live. And regardless of what I'm seeing you do, it keeps coming back. So let's take a different direction here. So one moment here. Yep, now we got number four. See, here's the thing. I've got one direction, and so far they haven't caught you and put you back, which is like, okay, cool. This seems really great. You know, at least it's a start. But what happens is I'm seeing that the tar stretch from you, even though you, like, technically speaking, get out of the box with all the tar, it's like it's like tar that's turned into super glue and you're not budging. It's like it's frozen. If we took a superhero and we flash froze them, you know, in slow motion and time froze and they're not moving, you could see the streaks behind them. That's what it basically looks like when you have finally managed to escape and one of those guys isn't bringing you back. And by the way, you have made it farther in a different direction and still ended up being taken back by one of these guys. And there's a lot of them. It's like the repeating circumstances just keep bringing you back over and over and over again. So short story, look at what you have to deal with in Arizona and get help on that and just work it through. It honestly seems like it's going to be the happiest. And when I say the happiest, I mean really, really hardcore the happiest. It would be kind of like trying to guide somebody in to say, you know, like, hey, you know, go stop in here at a 7-Eleven, go buy a lottery ticket, you're going to win $200,000, you know, and you're trying to get them into there to go buy the ticket, and they won't, and they have to be the ones to do it. But in your case, it would be more like, hey, guess what, you're going to win $500,000, honey. Wendy, it's $500,000 if you're willing to go into the 7-Eleven. But with you, it's getting the resolution is going to have that much of an impact on your life, and it's going to cause you a lot of problems if you don't. So really, really high on the Wendy needs to go in, Wendy needs to go in, Wendy needs to get that result, because of the massive effect that it can have in just stopping you from where you need to go. So some of those things that we don't, you know, maybe want to handle, know how to handle, et cetera, can really reap really big benefits, and you are in that position now. So good luck with that. You know, I wish you the best of luck. And that would be a good thing to go for coaching with. Come for coaching. Great. We can help you work that out. So we have Rochelle in Seattle. And she has an opportunity to relocate to the East Coast for a new job. The pay is good, but she's not sure she'd like it out there. Can I get a reading on how this would change, on how this change would be for me? Okay, Rochelle in Seattle. That's funny. I love Seattle, too. Seattle's awesome. One moment here. Rochelle, it would be really, really good for you. There, I see you coming into your power. I see you being happier. You have more energy. It's like going from, okay, Seattle is like, I mean, we're known for the rain on the West Coast, but it's kind of like Rochelle in Seattle is kind of like, oh, look, it's another rainy day. And then you put Rochelle on the East Coast and it's like, boom, 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 look at all the energy, look here, go. Because it is really, the East Coast is really good in the States for really being able to support that drive for, you know, you don't have to hold yourself back. You don't have to be as overly polite to get things done. You can sort of like just be who you are and let it all hang out and say, this is driven Rochelle and this is what we're going to get accomplished, people. And people are going to be like, yeah. And like, say, for example, New York. New York is very well known for. If you want to get something done, there are people out there who are going to help you, and they're going to get it done for you in a timely manner, like as in more right away, and they're going to be able to make it happen for you. And that is so good for you, Rochelle. Being able to be around people that aren't going to be holding you back. Because the West Coast, I mean, I love the West Coast, and it's kind of like a laid-back vibe. And I like the, you know, laid-back vibe sometimes. But if you're not a laid-back kind of person or not laid-back to the degree that they appear to need you to be in some cases, and that's why I tend to like Seattle, is because, you know, you can be more – I like people who talk straight. They talk straight more in Seattle, and they're very, very polite. So I tend to really like Seattle people. But I know in some other places where it's really laid back, sometimes people could get a little irritated because it seems like it can stop your flow. It takes too long to get things done. People sort of like don't really want to support that. And if you have somebody who's naturally, and it's healthy for them, has a laid back, slower vibe, excuse me, and then they're in a healthy community that supports that, excuse me, that can be actually really beneficial if you have that personality type. If you don't, and if you're hanging out with other people who don't, you get people who are kind of a little bit irritable or just like a little bit cranky or just like kind of like low energy, which is different than laid back, but they're just kind of like a little bit slow and maybe a little bit of lethargy, and they kind of hold other people back too, and you're kind of getting a lot of grumbling for no good reason if it's not like your vibe, or if you're hanging out with people who it's not their vibe, but they're just trying to fit in or do what they think they're supposed to do because the culture out there says that's what they're supposed to do. and that's never been my impression of Seattle, but your energy for you is like just, it's so smooth. It's like driving a Ferrari versus, you know, a Pinto or, you know, taking some little car out that's, you know, 40 years old and everything's falling apart and it's shaking a little bit. You know, it's like, it's not a super rough ride. Like, I'm not getting like, you know, bump, bump, bump for me being in Seattle, but it's nothing like driving a Ferrari. And for you, you know, you still need to work on what you're putting out there. So it's not immediately going to be a Ferrari, but it's a much smoother ride, I'm going to tell you. And it is feeling much better being in whatever car is where you are on the way to a Ferrari. That feels a lot better for you. And, oh, sweetheart, your energy just smooths out. And it's really, really beautiful. I have to tell you, it's absolutely amazing. So it looks like it would be excellent, or at least, you know, like pretty darn freaking good for you, you know, and then you just got to build from darn freaking good for you, you know, and find out where your Ferrari is your next step. So good, looks really great to go. I wish you luck on that, and thank you so much for writing in. So thank you, everybody, for writing in and for calling in. Love to talk to you all. Please write in and call in future shows. My name, is Elhoshi Yamtara. I'm here every single week, 3 p.m. PST on newsforthesoul.com, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. I do readings, the health stuff. Please call Dr. Holly. I like dealing with stuff that I know about, and what I know is that Dr. Holly is really excellent on the health stuff. I'm not a medical intuitive, would love to help you on that. I can only tell you what I know. and so Dr. Holly is really great on that. I do coaching, though, and please come for the coaching. Go to my website. That's www.enlightmentinthecity.com. Go there, book your coaching session. The coaching is absolutely beautiful. The first one is free, so you know what it's about. And it's a really great deal because, I mean, how can you possibly beat free? So thank you so much, everybody, for writing and calling in. I'll see you here next week. Again, it's 3 p.m. PST on every single Thursday, New York to Chicago. That's your rush hour. I love you. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.